Okay, so today is Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis. So I'm doing a story from the Chafetz Chaim about reading L'Or HaNer. So he says that even though the Chafetz Chaim paskins that you could read by a good candlelight, he tells a story. He had a scholarly Rav Abba Yaakov HaKohen of Barachov, the Rabbi Volkovitz, who spent his last years in Jerusalem, related that in his younger years, when he was a rabbi in Meshegala, a small town in the province of Vilna, he learned one Friday evening the Chafetz Chaim remained during the visit to spend the Shabbos in the little town. That night, after his meal, the young rabbi went to pay the sage a visit at his lodgings. He found him sitting alone in his room by the light of a lamp, his hands bound in a cloth, delving deeply into a section of the Talmud. He deliberately bound his hands so that he would not violate the decree of Talmudic sages noted above, although for others he was lenient. So even though in the Mishnah Berurah at Paskins that you could read by this candle, the Chafetz Chaim bound his hands so that he wouldn't be mata the candle. Okay, nice to have you this morning, Aaron Gershon and Robert. Yeah, please mute yourself, Robert, okay? I need you to mute yourself. Mute yourself. Okay, good. So we're on Daf Chaf Beis today, so I'll begin on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the last line, on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, 21b, the last line. Everybody with me? So it says, Amar Rav Kahana, Derash Rav Natan Bar Minyumi, Mishmei Derebi Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah, Shenicha Lamala Miyasrimimah, Psula Kasukah Kamavui, that if a person places the Chanukah menorah higher than 20 amod from the street level, that's psula, it's pasul, because it has to be where people would normally see it. It's like kesukah kamavui, it means the roof of a sukkah. It's like the first Mishnah Masechet Sukkah says that the roof of the sukkah is more than 20 amot high, it's psula. And similarly, the mavui, when I have the lechi, the crossbeam for the mavui, it can't be more than 20 amot high. And the idea is that people don't see and don't notice that which is more than 20 amot high. Some people who are in apartment houses is a problem, so there's no pirsumi nisa for the people on the street, so they could put their menorah if they permit it, maybe in the hallway if the apartment allows it, or it could be in their window if there are other Jews who would see it across from the window. So if there's like a Jewish neighborhood, and then there are other people who would see it, you know, from the window, then that would work. I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had mentioned to me that about with the window with the apartment dwellers. Okay, now, the second line in the Gemara, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, V'amar Rav Kahana, Darash Rav Natan Bar Miyumi, Shmei Rav Tanchum. Now here we have another memra from the same list of Chachamim. So, Mai Dichtiv Habur Reik Ein Bo Mayim, what does the Pasuk mean? It's talking about Yosef, that they threw, there was this boar, this pit, and they threw Yosef in the boar, and the Torah says, "Vahabor reik ein bomayim." The boar, the pit was empty, ein bomayim. There was no water there. Mimashra shneimar vahabor reik ein yodei shein bomayim. Since the Torah says the pit was empty, I know there's no water there. Elamatam lomar ein bomayim. What is the Torah intimating by saying ein bomayim? He says, "Mayim ein bomayim on the chashavak ravim yeshbo." That there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions in the in the pit. So the question, so there's something that the Torah Tamim addresses, and it's also brought down the name of Rameir Shapiro from Lublin. he says that what's the connection between these two memras, these two statements that we just had about the menorah, you know, can't be above 20 amot, and then about Yosef going into the pit. So he says also that Reuven's intent was to save Yosef. So how is it that Reuven is throwing Yosef, or, you know, signing off and throwing Yosef into the pit? The Torah says that he was going to pick him up later on. But if there's Nechashim and Akravim there, the snakes and scorpions, you might wonder how that would work. In addition to which, why weren't the Shvatim, the other brothers, why weren't they impressed that Yosef survived that? That's a siman of a miracle taking place. And that should have caused them to change their course of events. And the Torah Tamim mentions how Nebuchadnezzar, who was a big Rasha, he was impressed by Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah that were saved from the Kibshan Aish, from the fiery furnace, and being in a pit with snakes and scorpions is certainly dangerous. So they both connect this to a Mishnah Masechet Tamid. It says Vishlicho Ta'itzalmas Be'echel Makom Adashen, when a person brings a korban chatat from a bird, so he throws the mura, the crop from the bird, And Chazal teach us, and the Mefarish brings this down, and the Tosfos Yomtov brings this down. It says Vishlich, when it says Hashlacha, it means 20 Amot. So it says Vayashlichu to Abora, they threw him into the pit. So we can reasonably extrapolate that the pit was 20 Amot or deeper, a deeper pit. So it's buttressing the idea we said above, that that which is more than 20 Amot high or more than 21 deep, I don't notice, I don't see it. It's out of my scope of vision. So that's the connection between the two statements. It's just further buttressing the idea. So it means Reuven didn't see the scorpions, the Shvatim didn't see the scorpions and the snakes, and because when something is more than 20 yamos deep, you know, you're out of it with that. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Anything we did so far?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. What do you got?
No. When you have two statements like this that seem so unrelated, usually we can get the flow of the Gemara. Here, unless I'm the slowest one in the group, it totally escaped me why these two came after the other. It wasn't from the same Baal Mamre, it wasn't anything. Why did the Gemara not state that that's why we were stating? I mean, everyone knows the Rashi with the boar, but I didn't know the 20 Amot. Everyone did.
No. So, first of all, it is by the Baal, the same Chachamim. It's the same statement.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's
okay,
exactly
yeah.
The same. So the simple pshat in the Gemara would be that it's just another statement by the same Chacham. That would be the simple pshat in the Gemara. But what the Torah Tumim is explaining, and Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin are explaining, that there's a deeper, connection between the two, and that's what they're filling in. I don't know more to say about that.
That was very good. I never would have guessed it.
All right.
That's
okay. By the way, Aaron Gershon, can you hear me, Aaron Gershon? Can you hear me better today? Because I increased the volume. It's working well. Okay, good. Okay, let's go back. We're back. Okay, welcome, Abe, this morning. Abe, I can't see you, but I know you're here with us, so welcome. All right, if you could work on the video, it would be good. All right, now we're on Chuk.
All right.
All right, we're on. Okay, now you got to mute yourself, Abe, but thank you. Okay, we're on Chuk Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, around the sixth line. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Nir Chanukah Mitzvah L'Michah B'Tefach HaSmucha L'Petach. Rabba says the mitzvah is to light the menorah in the Tefach HaSmucha L'Petach. Abe, I need you to mute yourself, okay? Please mute yourself, Abe. Okay, I need picture, not noise. Okay, it says that the Tefach HaSmucha L'Petach, within a Tefach of the entranceway of the house, Midina de Gemara, you should light the menorah near the entranceway. And then the question is, it the entranceway between the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the Chatzer, between the Chatzer and the Bayit, but in the entranceway where it should be. So v'heicha manachle, where exactly does one place the menorah? So Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Amar miyamin. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav says on the right side as one goes into the house. He says Rav Shmuel midifti amar Shmuel. Rav Shmuel Midifti Amar Mismol. Rav Shmuel Midifti says it should be on the left. Now the idea is when it's on the left, and I think Rashi brings this down here. Does he not? Right. So the Gemara itself is going to explain. One second. Well, anyway, no. So the Mishnah Berurah explains. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the person should be Abe. Please mute yourself, Abe. Abe, I need you to mute yourself. I'm hearing noise. Abe, mute yourself. All right. So mute yourself. Okay, good. So it means that a person should be surrounded by mitzvot. That when he puts the menorah on the left side, so the mezuzah will be on the right side of the door, and then the menorah will be on the left. So he'll be surrounded by mitzvot. That's the idea with that. So, the next line, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Now, if you look, it leaves out the word Amar Rav. That's going to be a pregnant absence, and we'll explain in a minute. So, when it's in parentheses, it means usually take it out. And on the side, it mentions that the Rush doesn't say Amar Rav here. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Asur L'Hartzot Ma'od K'neged Ner Chanukah. One is not allowed to count money in front of the light of the menorah. In other words, that's like an improper usage of the light of the menorah to do such a mundane, not mitzvah-related, project. He says, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I said this before Shmuel, amarli v'chi ner kedusha yeshba. Now, before I go on, I should mention that there's another statement you had in Friday. This is Shabbos' daf. So in Friday's daf, you had a Gemara on Chafal from Beis, the Gemara said that in the Gemara quotes from Rav, Asur l'hishtamesh l'ora, that a person is not allowed to use the light of the menorah. So there's a question among the Rishonim, are these two statements, you know, are they in agreement with one another, or is there a machloket between the two statements? So the Baal HaMaor wants to say there's a machloket, that Rav holds that I can't use the menorah even for a mitzvah purpose. Like, even if I want to study Gemara in front of the menorah, I can't do that, because Asur l'shtamesh l'ora. Whereas this statement from Rav Yudah, name of Rav Asi, just holds I can't do a non-kedusha item in front of the menorah, but a mitzvah I could do in front of the menorah. That's one way to learn it. And then they quote the Or Scroll from the Ran. The Ran holds that no, they both agree with each other. And Rav Asi also agrees that I can't do a mitzvah in front of the menorah. But the reason he mentions about the money, and the Ran calls it like a tashmish kal, it's like an insignificant usage. I assume he means it's like brief, like a brief usage, so I might have thought it's permissible, so it's not. So it's a question in Rishonim, does Rav Asi agree or disagree with the statement of Rav from yesterday's Gemara? But that's why it's important that the Amar Rav is out of there, because if Rav is making the statement, then it changes the whole thing. All right, now the Gemara says, Ki Amrita Kami Shmuel. So again, we know that Rav Yehuda did study by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, he went to study by Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said when he made the statement before Shmuel, Amarli v'chiner kedusha yeshba. So he said, does the ner have any kedusha? Does the light of the menorah, does it have kedusha with it? He says, Makivla Rav Yosef v'chidam kedusha yeshba. In other words, so Rav Yosef says, does blood have kedusha? D'tanya v'shafach v'chisav, mash shafach yechaseh. It says there's a mitzvah of shvicha dam when you shecht a bird or a chaya, so the blood has to be covered over. The mitzvah kisui dam, I should say, kisui dam. So it says v'shafach v'chisa, that he'll spill the blood, in other words, the blood gets spilled out, and then v'chisa ba'afar, he covers it with afar. So in other words, the member is teaching me that B'mash shafach, and with his hand is what he did the shvicha of the blood, that's what he has to cover. In other words, he shouldn't take his foot and kick over some dirt over the blood. He should take his hand and cover the blood with dirt. In other words, because the mitzvah was done with it. So he says here, Shelo yichasenu beregel, shelo yumitzvah bezug yirolav, that mitzvah shouldn't be contemptible to him. In other words, I'm doing a mitzvah, so I should, you know, treat it with some deference. So hachinami shlo mitzvah bezuyah alav. So here too, Rav Yosef is saying that it makes sense that with the menorah, that I shouldn't do like a mundane activity in front of the menorah, because it's treating the menorah with some contempt. Now, Shmuel, who disagreed with that, will hold that there's a difference between the dam and the menorah, because by the dam, if I kick it, the dirt over with my feet on the dam, I'm actually like denigrating the object itself. Here, I'm just reading, or I'm just looking by the light of it. So he doesn't feel that that's such a denigration of the mitzvah of the menorah. That's what's involved with that. Okay, everybody good? Yosef, you good? Everybody good? Good. Okay, Robert, you're good? Thumbs up? Okay, good. Okay, now we're in Gershon, Fern. Okay, I'm going to go on. And Abe, I hope you're okay. All right, I'm going to go on. Now, Bami named Rabbi Shuban Levi. They asked the question from Rabbi Shuban Levi, Ma'u listapek minoye sikha kol shiva. Now, this is like a related topic, but, you know, sort of on a digression. Am I allowed to benefit from the sukkah decorations during the 7 days of sukkahs? It means, let's say I hang fruit to decorate my sukkah. So I have the apple hanging from the top of the sukkah. I say, let me take it. I'm hungry, can I eat it? That's the question of the Gemara. So he says here, Amar lei hareyam ruah asur lahatzot ma'od keneged ner Chanukah. So Rabbi Shuban Levi said, so we see that there's a din that I can't count money, you know, opposite the ner Chanukah. So I have to, you know, keep a certain deference to the mitzvah. Amar Rav Yosef, Mari Davram. So Rav Yosef says, Mari Davram means like the master of Avram. It means like, I assume, the Ribono Shel Olam. He says, Tali Tanya, but Lo Tanya. He's connecting something that which we learn explicitly in a Braisa with something that we don't explicitly learn in the Braisa. Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah Lo Tanya. In other words, he's comparing Sukkah to Chanukah. But we have an explicit Braisa that tells us the din concerning Sukkah. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Sichacha Kihilchata, if a person covered his Sukkah appropriately, Itra Bekramim Ubastanim Hamatsuyarim, and then he decorated the Sukkah with like these colored sheets and these embroidered sheets, V'talaba Egozima Farsakim, and he hung from the roof of the Sukkah in nuts and afarsakim are quinces or peaches, shkedim v'rimonim, almonds and pomegranates, uparchilein avim, and clusters of grapes, va'atarot shel shibolim, and like groups of like the grain, the wreaths of grain. He says yenot shmanim uslatot, and then bottles of wine, bottles of oil, uslatot, and fine flour. A person is not allowed to benefit from those items until after Yantav is over. In other words, this really is a type of huksel mitzvah. This is designated for the mitzvah. He says, v'mitnali hena kol v'itano. But if a person stipulated before Yantav that I should be permitted to use these items during the holiday, yeah, and so everything is like that tonight. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef Avuon Dekulu Dam. So rather, Rav Yosef said, like the teacher for all of this is Dam. In other words, that by Dam I have a certain deference that I have to do with the mitzvah because I did the mitzvah with the Dam, so I have to be nizhar from it. And here with these things, when I attach it to the sukkah, some also they become part of the mitzvah. In other words, it's not a tashmish kedusha. It's like a tashmish mitzvah. In other words, the sukkah is a tashmish mitzvah. So when I attach it to it, it becomes part of this tashmish mitzvah. So anything which is connected to the mitzvah, I have to treat with a certain deference, and I can't do something sort of like profane with it. So he's saying, so with the decorations of the sukkah, if I stipulate before sukkahs that I should be permitted to eat it, that's one thing. But otherwise, it's off. Otherwise, not. All right. Okay, everybody good? Any questions? Everybody good? Okay, moving on. All right, now, we're three lines above where it gets wide. Itmar. Now, this next sugya becomes a little complicated, but we'll try to do it as simply as we can and get through the Gemaras. Okay? So the Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Amar, Ema Likim Miner Lener. Rav says, you can't light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light. In other words, I can't light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light. Shmuel Mar Malikin. Shmuel says I could do that. Rav Amar Ima Timit Tzitzit Mi Beged Le Beged. Rav says I can't take tzitzit off Beged A and then retie it on Beged B. He says Shmuel Mar Matirin Mi Beged Le Beged. Shmuel says I could do that. Rav Amar Ein Halacha Kriv Shem Begreira. Rav says Halacha. This is a different Halacha. Rav says that the halacha does not follow the Tana Reb Shimon when it comes to greira, dragging. Shmuel Amar halacha of Shimon greira, and Shmuel says halacha is like Shimon greira. So just to refresh our recollections, so Reb Shimon is talking about this in a concept of ein mitkaving. If on Shabbos I do an act which may or may not result in a malacha taking place, so then Reb Shimon paskins that's mutar. So a good example of this would be, Let's say I have my refrigerator on Shabbos. So if the light's on in the refrigerator and I open the door, I'm chayav, and that's for psik reisha. The phone is ringing. Just give me 1 minute. Okay, excuse me for 1 second. Sam, it's nice to speak to you. I'm in the middle of giving a shiur right now, but maybe I can call you back a little later. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Bye bye. All right. Now, if I open the refrigerator door and the light's on, so I'm chayav for doing malacha on Shabbos, even if I didn't intend the light to go on, that's psik reisha. But let's say the light is off. Now I open the door to the refrigerator, and the motor may or may not go on as a result of me opening the door to the refrigerator. So that's the Ein Mitkaven. So then that's permissible, although there are some people who are machmir that they only open the refrigerator when the motor, when they hear the motor is working, and then they're not causing it to go on. But all right, now let's see further in the Gemara. So Reb Shimon says, we'll see his din where he comes at. Now, the Gemara says, okay, the second line, Amar Abaye, Kumili Demar Abi Kirav. So Abaye says, in all manners, the master, which is Rabba, Abaye's uncle and his Rebbe was Rabba. So in all manners, Rabba followed Rav, Levar Mehanet Klat to Abi Kishmuel. Except for these three dinim, we followed Shmuel. And we know the halacha is like Rav be Isuri. By Isurim we do follow Rav, but here in these three dinim we're going to follow Shmuel. He says, and the three dinim are Madlikim Miner Lener, that one can light one Chanukah candle with another Chanukah candle. Umatirim Mibegel Lebeged, one can take the strings off one garment, sits the strings and tie to the other garment. Halacha Rav Shimon Begreira. And halacha follows Rav Shimon by Greira to Tani. We learn in the Braisa of Shimon Omer, Guerra da Mitak, he save a safsal, that a person on Shabbos can drag a bed, a chair, or a bench. It means you're dragging on a dirt floor or a dirt or earth surface. So when I drag it, it may or may not create a charis, like a ditch in the ground. So that's permissible because it's not definite that it will create such a charis. And a charis could either be choresh or it could be bona, but Rav Shimon holds that you're allowed to do that. Now, four of the five lines from the bottom. Yatebu mirabanan kamed rabada barava. One of the chachamim was sitting for rabada barava. Yatib kamar. Tama de Rav. Now again, let's go over. Rav said, the rest of the daf is just focusing on this one halacha from Rav. Rav says, Ein madlikim miner l'ner, that you can't light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light. And Shmuel says you could. Okay? So we have to figure out what exactly is that machloket. So Amar Lehumin Rabbanan Yatiba Humin Rabbanan Kameid Rabbada Barab, but Yatiba Kamar Tama de Rav Hishum Bizui Mitzvah. He said the reason that Rav prohibits it is because of Bizui Mitzvah, denigration of the Mitzvah. So that assumes that I'm taking like a wood chip or a match. So if I have one Chanukah light and I take a match or a wood chip, and then with that and I light it and I go to another light, so that's like a denigration to the deference of the status of this candle, because the candle was lit to l'shem mitzvah, and I'm lighting something that not per se a mitzvah, and then I'm lighting another candle with it. Now, Shmuel holds that ultimately, since it's like the other candle, it's permissible, and Rav holds not. That's the first way of understanding this, okay? So he says here, but...
Can you say that again, please?
So Bizui mitzvah means that I'm taking a non-sacred item, which is a wood chip or a match, and I'm lighting the wood chip or the match from the Chanukah menorah, and then I'm lighting another light, and maybe in a different Chanukah menorah with it. So that's Bizui mitzvah according to Rav. And Shmuel says it's permissible since ultimately it's going for a mitzvah. Okay? Okay, so now, let's go over it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, so Rav Ada Bar Ava said to the Talmidim, Lo tatzitule, don't listen to him. Tamid Rav Mishum de Kamachish Mitzvah. That Rav is concerned with Hachasha Mitzvah means that even if I, certainly the wood chip is, Rav would hold, is definitely prohibited, but Rav holds that when I light one Chanukah light directly from another Chanukah light, that's not permissible. Because it looks like achushe mitzvah. It looks like I'm diminishing the first candle when I light. If I have candle A and candle B, when I take candle B to candle A, it looks like I'm diminishing candle A. So Rav is more machmir. And then in the second version, Rav is more machmir. So in the second version, Rav would prohibit the wood chip, and so would Shmuel would also prohibit the wood chip. But the point of dispute between them is taking one candle directly to another candle and lighting it. Okay, that's achushe mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "My Beinayu, what's the Nafkamina? Which way I say this Machloket?" So Ika Beinayu, the Kamadlik Mishraga, the Shraga. So the Nafkamina will be if I light directly one candle to another candle. Mandamar Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. If I say the reason for Rav was Bizui Mitzvah, that was like the idea of going with the wood chip, the match, the whole thing. So he says, Mishraga Shraga Madlik. So then I could light, I'm just not allowed to light with a wood chip or a match. But to light one Hanukkah light with another Hanukkah light is permissible, according to Rav. Mantamar Mishum Achushe Mitzvah, but according to the opinion, it says it's Achushe Mitzvah, that even diminishing the light is the problem. Mishragal Shragal Nami Asur. So even lighting from one candle to another candle is prohibited, okay? Let me just repeat again, and then we'll move on, okay? So, we have a machlok between Rav and Shmuel, where the person is allowed to be madlik miner l'ner. Am I allowed to light one candle with another candle from the menorah? So the first way that we had to understand this is because of bizui mitzvah. It's like denigrating the mitzvah. If I take, it's similar to what we had earlier. If I'm taking something which is non-sacred, like this wood chip or this match, and lighting it from the menorah, and then going to lighting another candle with the menorah with it, so that's a denigration in the deference that I owe to the menorah. Now again,
can I ask a question?
Wait, give me 2 minutes, okay? Give me 2 minutes, all right?
2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, please mute yourself, thank you. All right, now, now we learned earlier, remember I said yesterday, that Rav holds Asur Lehanot, Asur L'Shtameish L'Ora, that you're not allowed to get any benefit from the light of the menorah. So in this way, you'd have to say that Rav only prohibits getting benefit from the light for another mitzvah. But if it's the same mitzvah, he permits it. That's what you'd have to say. Or actually, with the wood chip, he doesn't permit it. But according to this first lashon, one menorah light to another menorah light, he does permit. So that would be where he'd be permitting it. And the second version, and then according to that, Shmuel disagrees. And Shmuel says you could take the wood chip and light it and go light something else with it because you're doing a mitzvah with it. And according to the second version, they both hold that lighting with a match, the wood chip, is prohibited. But lighting one candle from another candle, that's the machloka between Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds it's prohibited and Shmuel holds permissible. Okay, Robert, what do you have for me? Go. Robert?
Yeah. Okay, my question is, I understand that you can't light a second menorah using a candle from the first menorah. If you take a wood chip, can you take the light from the candle on menorah one to light the wood chip and then light the second menorah?
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're saying is prohibited. That's what we're saying is prohibited.
So in other words, you have to independently light the wood chip, not using the light from the first menorah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I thought the distinction was between using a candle and a wood chip.
No. The key is, again, with the, what do you mean with the, no, even if I take a candle is the same as a wood chip. If I take a candle that's not for the mitzvah and I light it from the menorah, that's the same thing as the wood chip. It's also
I was confused with that.
Okay. Okay, Yosef, you're right. You have a question. What's up, Yosef?
Yeah. You said according to the second reason, Shmuel would agree that using a wood chip would be awesome.
That's correct.
Why can't you say that? Same reason he said for number one, that eventually is going to use for a mitzvah.
Yeah, this machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So wherever the machlok it is, then Shmuel disagrees with it. So in the second version, the point of dispute between the two of them is when I take one Hanukkah menorah to another Hanukkah menorah directly. Rav says it's not permissible, and Shmuel holds permissible. The implication is, and it's going to come out in the Gemara, that Shmuel in that case agrees that I can't do the wood chip. In other words, the wood chip is like a lower standard. So if the machloket is on playing field B, that's the machloket. If the machloket is on playing field A, then playing field B, everybody agrees is prohibited.
So it's not a disagreement throughout. It's each case separately.
In other words, it's just moving the dispute more to the right. In other words, moving the dispute more to the right. All right, now, let me argue. Okay, let's go mute, let's go on, and I'll pause periodically. Okay, now, Matav Rav Yehuda. So now, again, so we had Ahumei Rabbanan, we had this Talmud who understood the Machloket being with the wood chip, And then Rav Ada Bar Ava said, no, the machlok is not with wood chip. The machlok is taking the light of the menorah directly to the light of the menorah. That's the machlok. Wood chip, everybody agrees, is prohibited. So Mark's Rav Ivya. Rav Ivya is going to ask a kasha from the Braisa against the Talmud's ostensible explanation. He said, now the Braisa says, Selashel, turn page, Selashel Maser Sheni, in Shoklan Kenegdo Dinrei Zahav, Vafila Chalilav Maser Sheni Acher. If I have a seller from Maser Sheni, so Maser Sheni is a tvua that I'm going to eat in Yerushalayim. And then if I want, I could be poda the tvua on money, and I bring the money to Yerushalayim. So that money is like a cheftza shel mitzvah. The money has like a certain status. So if I have the seller of the Maser Sheni, I can't use that seller as a weight. In other words, I have like a jeweler's scale, you know, the two surfaces. I want to weigh another coin on the other end, the other surface. I want to see what the weight of the other coin is, because I may want to use that maybe for a master, to be put a Maser Sheni. But I have to see how much metal content it has. So it says I can't use the Maser Sheni money to weigh Dinrei Zahav, to weigh golden tinarim, fila chalav Maser Sheni acher. And even if my intent is to eventually use the other coins to be put a Maser Sheni. Now, Yamar b'shlema ki pli Rav Shmuel min er l'ner, if you say the way the Rav Ada Bar Ava said, the machloket is lighting one candle to another candle. Aval b'kinsa Aser Shmuel, but when it comes to with the wood chip, kinsa is the wood chip. The kinsa Aser Shmuel, halotev etiofta. So then Shmuel is okay with this brisa. This brisa, I'm weighing something which is non-sacred with something which is sacred. In other words, the cell of Maser Sheni is sacred, and then the other slime are not sacred. But I may want to eventually use it for a mitzvah. So that's like the wood chip. That's like the wood chip. So saying that, so right now I can't in any way benefit. In other words, in one case the benefit was lighting it, and the other way the case the benefit is weighing it. So I can't use the cell of Maser Sheni as a counterweight to these dinarim because they don't have any kedusha to them. So if Shmuel is good with that, with the kinsa, that makes sense. He says, Elo I amrit bekinsa nami shari. But if you assume, like the Talmud did, that Shmuel permits one to light the wood chip, because eventually it will be used for a mitzvah, he says, Hatebe Tiyufta. So here we're going to have a kasha from the Braisa against Shmuel, because this Braisa says that I can't weigh the non-sacred coin, even though my intent is to eventually use that non-sacred coin for Maser Sheni. That's equivalent to the kinsa, the wood chip. The wood chip I'm lighting from the menorah, and then I want to light another menorah with it. So I can't do that. So we assume that Shmuel would not give a hesber where he has a contradiction from the Braisa. So the Braisa says, I can't use it for non-sacred, that's fine. But the Braisa also says, even if I intend to eventually use it for the Maser Sheni. So we think that the Talmud is all upgeschlucht. So I'm a rabbi. So rabbi says, no, all is not lost for that Talmud. That the Talmud could explain that Braisa, in a chinami, if I would use that non-sacred coin to be part of Maser Sheni, Shmuel would say it's fine. But it's not definite that would work out, because maybe the coin won't weigh properly. It'll weigh too little, it'll weigh too much. So then I won't use it. Then I won't use it for Maser Sheni. So because of that reason, so the chachamim don't permit you to weigh it. But in Akinami, if I would know with certainty that I would be doing it, so Shmuel would say, then the Bryce, Shmuel would say to the Bryce, it would permit it. It's only because I don't know for sure that I'll use it. All right. Any questions of what we did so far? All right, moving on. Okay? Let's go on. Now, Matib Rav Sheshet. Now, Rav Sheshet is going to ask a question against both explanations. Again, so Rav says, Ein Madlikim Miner Laner. You can't light from Ner Laner. The pshat is either with a wood chip or directly with a Hanukkah menorah. In other words, you can't light one from another one. Matib Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet poses a kasha from the following brisa. The brisa says, now this is a famous brisa which they quote all the time around Hanukkah time. It says, Michutz la parochet aydut ya'aroch, that outside the parochet with the curtain in the Mishkan, Aaron will arrange the menorah. V'chilo orahu tzarech. Does a Kaddish Baruch Hu need light? In other words, why do we have this mitzvah of lighting the menorah? He says, for the 40 years that when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, we followed, he was the one who lighted it. He had the Amud Eish Balayla. He lit up the way. The Kadosh Baruch Hu lit up the way. So why? So the mitzvah is to light the menorah towards evening in the Mishkan and in the base of Mikdash. So what's the, and there's no avoda there at night. So what why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu light the menorah? You know, you're lighting something up and nobody's around. And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu need a light? He's the one who creates light for us, the one there. Elam eidud hi labay olam sheshchina sherab Yisrael. Rather, the menorah serves as testimony that the Shechina, God's divine presence, dwells among the Jewish people. So he says. So again, he's darshening out mechutz the parochet ha'idut, the parochet of testimony. It means that the menorah is really going to be the testimony. So he says, my eidut, what's the testimony? He says, Amarav zuner ma'aravi. It's referring to the ner ma'aravi. Now, ner ma'aravi literally means the westernmost candle. Now, there's a machloket in the Gemara what the westernmost candle is. I know this is going to sound really, again, so the entranceway in the Beis HaMikdash is from the east, and the Aron is in the west. So the entranceway is on it. So all the doorways, or the main, all the doorways are on an east-west axis. So one according to one shita, the menorah was lined up north to south. So the menorah is perpendicular to that line of access. So if it's north to south, which is the westernmost candle? So the middle one is the Ner Ma'aravi, because the Ner Ma'aravi had a wick, and that wick would be pulled more towards the westerly. So according to that Hesber, so the Ner Ma'aravi is the middle candle. Again, there's only seven branches in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, not like our Hanukkah menorahs with eight, and then actually we have nine with the Shamas. So it's a seven-branched menorah. So the middle one is leaning towards the wick. The middle little one is pulling towards the Kodesh Kodashim. According to the other opinion, the menorah is lined up on an east-west axis. So it's a little bit like counterintuitive. You would think the Ner Ma'aravi would be the one, the westernmost candle, but that's not the way it works. The westernmost one is the second one from the east. In other words, so you have the first one from the east, the next one is the Ner Ma'aravi. Now, let's just see in the back of the Gemara. Now, and the same machloket that exists in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, exists by lighting the menorah in Shul on Hanukkah, whether the menorah is lined up on the east-west or north-south axis. So he says here, so Amarav Zuner Maravi, Shinotin Bashem and Kemidat Chavei Roteha. One puts oil in the Ner Maravi, the same amount of oil as in all the other cups. Umimena Hayamadlik, and yet the Kohen was able to use that lit candle to light the other ones, Uvaha Yamasayim, and to clean that one last. Now, it means like this. When Klal Yisrael were virtuous, a miracle took place with the Ner Ma'aravi. Now, this machloket, Rashi and the Rambam, how often the menorah was lit. According to Rashi, the menorah was lit once in the afternoon. And I'm going to go with Pshat and Rashi. The Rambam learns it was lit twice, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. But the way Rashi learns, it's lit once in the evening, and then it burns the whole night. And then in the morning, the Kohen comes and cleans out the menorah, cleans out the branches of the menorah. But the Ner Ma'aravi, the other candles had gone out, but the Ner Ma'aravi still kept burning. And it kept burning the whole day afterwards. And then at the end of the day, he would come and he would scoop up this burning wick and clean out that cup, and then use that to light the other candles. Use that to light the other candles. So that was the miracle with the Ner Ma'aravi. So that's only, now Rashi explains that only occurred up until the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a contemporary of Alexander the Great. The Gemara says that he dressed up with his big day Kohen Gadol and he went to greet Alexander the Great. But the, so that's around 333 BC. So up until 333 BC approximately, so this miracle would occur. After that, Klal Yisrael were not so virtuous and even the Ner Ma'aravi went out. So back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says,
never went out?
Well, they all went out. They all went out, and then he would light them.
That Ma'aravi light never went out?
No. The Ner Ma'aravi would never go out.
Never.
Up until the time of Shimon HaTzadik. After the time of Shimon HaTzadik, that one went out also. And so they have to light all of them. Okay, so now let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so he says, Umimena Yamadlik, he would light from the Ner Maravi would use to light the other candles, the other branches, Uvaya Misayim, and that would be the last one that he would clean out. He says, Vahacha Kevin Tkvi Nerot. Now here with the menorah, the Nerot, the candles, they're locked into place. All right? In other words, the menorah is like a solid object. So he says, so he must have had to light it with some sort of wood chip, right? In other words, how is the Kohen lighting all the other candles? In other words, one candle's burning, and it's in its cup, and he's lighting the other candles with it. So we're assuming he's taking like a wood chip or a match and lighting the other ones with it. So that's going to be a kasha against both Lashonot. He says, so kasha bein l'man damar mishum bizui mitzvah. So according to the first Lashon, Rav holds it's a denigration of the mitzvah to light something non-sacred with a sacred, yet in the base of Mikdash it seems like that must have been taking place. He says, ubein l'man damar mishum achushei mitzvah. If I say achushei mitzvah, so it's even more chamor. When I light anything, it's like diminishing it. So certainly I can't do it that way. And we said, according to that Lashon, everybody agrees the wood chip not permissible. So we're running into problems. So the Gemara says, Tirgama Rapapa, Biptila Rucho. So Rapapa said that in the base of Mikdash, all the candles had very long wicks. So since the candles had long wicks, they lit one candle from another candle. So let's say the Ner Maravi, I light the ones next to it. The next ones, I light that. So the wood chip problem is removed. I'm not taking anything non-profane. That part we got. So the Gemara says, Sof Sof, Lamanda Mar Mishum Achushe Mitzvah Kasha. But the Gemara says, but according to Lamanda Amar, and this is Ravada Bar Ava, who said the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel was Achushe Mitzvah, that looks like I'm diminishing the mitzvah when I light one candle from another candle, so I'm running into problems, because here I would be Achushe Mitzvah. It's not Bizui Mitzvah, because I'm not using a wood chip, I'm using the wicks to light it, but it would be Achushe Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Kasha, indeed, that's a difficulty according to that Hesber. Now, there's a whole machloket, how do we go further in the Gemara, but the way we're at right now, we're going to leave it with the way I'm going to go, which is the way the art school went and the way the first Lashon in Tosfos is, that we're going to go back like Ahumei Rabban. We're going to say that the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel is when I take the wood chip. That they have a machloket. Because in the base of Mikdash, they didn't use a wood chip. But when it comes to taking Ner Lener, everybody should agree it's permissible. Okay, that's where we're at right now. Everybody good with that so far? Good? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, the Gemara says, my Havala, what's the upshot? Now, the Gemara now is asking, that being the case, am I allowed to light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light? Lachora, if I'm going according to the first Lashon, everybody agrees I could light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light, Lachora, right? Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the way they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so I should be allowed to do it by the menorah. So is that the case? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara is going to connect this to another machloket, which is unique to the Chanukah menorah, which may change the setting. It says, my Havalah, so Amar Rav Huna b'Reiz Rav Yoshua Chazina, Yad Laka Osa Mitzvah Madliki Miner Laner. If we'll assume, now there's a machloket in the Gemara, is it Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah? What is the mitzvah when I light the menorah? Is that the key of mitzvah? Or when I put it down in a certain place? Let's say Tosos brings down, let's say I have a chere shota or a katan, who, you know, they can't do a mitzvah for me or anything like that. Let's say they light the menorah, and then I put the menorah down in its correct place. Have I performed the mitzvah, or have I not performed the mitzvah? If I say hadlaka osa mitzvah, then I have not performed the mitzvah, because the chere shota v'katan lit it. If I say hanacha osa mitzvah, the mitzvah is putting the menorah in its proper place, so I did the mitzvah. Now, it's going to come out, if I say the, we'll see in a minute. Now, let's say the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, so, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua Chazina, I hadlaka osa mitzvah, madlikim miner laner. If hadlaka is osa mitzvah, if the mitzvah is lighting the menorah, and that's going to be the maskana of the Gemara, then I could light one candle to another candle, because that's that's using the candle to do a mitzvah. That's like in the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah is lighting one candle to another candle, and that's the same thing I'm doing with the Chanukah menorah. Then everybody agrees that's permissible. He says, V'hanacha osa mitzvah, but if the mitzvah is really the hanacha, so when I light one candle with another candle, I'm not doing a mitzvah by lighting it. So then the whole heter was using it to light for a mitzvah. But if lighting is not the mitzvah, then I'm not doing the mitzvah at that point in time. It's like lighting my light, over my in the room. It's not doing anything. So Dibailu, the question was asked in the Beis Medrash, Hadlacha osa mitzvah or wanacha osa mitzvah. Okay? So again, the way we're going is, what are we going to say? The way I'm going, that we're going with the question now, am I allowed to light miner l'ner by Chanukah, now that I know that I have this issue, whether hanacha osa mitzvah or hadlacha osa mitzvah? If hadlacha osa mitzvah, then I could light miner l'ner. That's the same as the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. But if hanacha osa mitzvah, it's not at all the same. And when I light it, I'm not doing the mitzvah. And I'm doing the mitzvah later on, so then that should not be permissible. Let's take a look.
Can I ask a question?
Okay.
We have two brachot, lahadlik and sha'asa nisim, which sounds like the pirsuma nisim aspect of the mitzvah. Why can't we say either it's two mitzvot and then it may mess up the Rambam count, or that there are two aspects to the mitzvah?
So
why do we have to say it's either or? That's my question.
No, so what do you want to say? What do you want to say? How is the mitzvah breaking up?
You have two brachot, so they would either be two mitzvot or two aspects of one mitzvah.
But let's say there's two brachot, okay? So how do you want to play that out with the menorah? So you want to say there's one kiyum when you light it, and one kiyum when you do anacha?
Right.
So the Gemara doesn't take it that's the way it takes place. The Gemara isn't goreis your idea with this, okay? Now, the Gemara takes it that there's one mitzvah that takes place everything at the same time. Now, let's take it back in the Gemara. Now, Tashma da Amar Rava. So we're going to bring a proof from Rava's statement. He says, Hayat tafus ner Chanukah. If a person was holding the menorah, he says, V'omeid lo asav lo klum. He's done nothing. So I light the menorah, and I stand there holding the menorah. Lo asav lo klum. I haven't done anything. So he says, Shmamina hanacha osa mitzvah. So the Gemara says, that seems to be an indication that it's not the lighting that's the mitzvah. In other words, let's say I'm holding the menorah and I'm standing there in my doorway, so I'm not making the mitzvah. It sounds like the hanacha is what does the mitzvah, not lighting the menorah. So the Gemara says, "Hata maro omer letzorko who denakid lo." He says, in that case, like if a person observes me, he'll think that I'm holding the menorah because I need the menorah for my own purposes, like a flashlight, and that's why I've lit it. The essence of the menorah is persume nisa, that I'm publicizing the miracle. But if everybody thinks I lit it like I'm lighting a candle just, because I need light, I'm there holding, like, it's not, like, it could even be just like one candle I'm holding. So so that could be the issue. But if it would be clear that it was the mitzvah, maybe it would work. Now the Gemara says, Tashma da'ama rava hidlika bifnim v'hotziya lo asaklum. If a person lit the menorah inside and then took it outside, he's done nothing. In other words, the Gemara takes it that the place is in the doorway, so if I light it inside and then I bring it outside, a zero. So he says, So if I say the mitzvah is hadlaka, so at the time I do the hadlaka, I have to have all the atmospherics lined up. I have to have all my ducks lined up. I didn't have all my ducks lined up. Ela yamrit hanacha osa mitzvah. But if I'll assume that the mitzvah is hanacha, like putting the menorah in its proper place, amai lo asav lo klum. Why is it nothing? So the Gemara says, hatam nami haro ohu omer letzorko hu da'adlaka. So the Gemara says, there too, an observer could say that I'm just lighting it for my own needs. In other words, maybe let's say I lit it inside maybe 15 minutes before the Zman, and then I walk it outside in the Zman. So people will say, that's just Eric needed a light, and that's why he lit it. But it's not clear that I lit it the mitzvahs of Chanukah. Now, the Gemara ends up saying in tomorrow's daf, which I don't know if anybody's at the if you heard Lieber's, Rabbi Lieber Cohn's daf this morning, but the Gemara ends up proving from the bracha, that it's hadlaka osa mitzvah. Okay, now, let me just do a little piece from this, and then I'll call it a day with this. This is from the Yala daf. It gets very tricky with this whole thing. Now, it's coming out that that madlikin miner lener, that I could light one Chanukah light with another Chanukah light. But let's tease this out now. So he says, now I tell you, the poskim always say, I'll tell you right now, the poskim always say, take the Shabbos and light it. Don't do that. But we're just doing like the theoretical arguments in the Gemara. So when you light your menorah, you always use the Shabbos. The Shabbos is the non-mitzvah candle, and you use it and you light the candles with it. You don't light, you know, one thing. You don't light anything. You don't light the Shabbos. The Shabbos, you take the match, you light the Shabbos, and then you light the other candles with the Shabbos. Okay, now, he says, the Rush and the Ramban rule that killing one Chanukah light from another is permitted only if it's done directly without the use of a match. Taking fire from a Chanukah light with a non-mitzvah item, such as a match, is considered disrespectful to the mitzvah, bizui mitzvah, even if it's done for the purpose of lighting a menorah. Okay, so I can't take the match. That's the bizui mitzvah. Now, the Magen Avraham says, if someone's Chanukah light goes out, he may not rekindle it with another Chanukah light, because as stated above, the Shulchan Aruch rules there is no mitzvah to rekindle and extinguish Chanukah light, even when out prematurely. Kavta ein zakakla. So the Gemara learns, if I lit the light and everything was okay with it, and then it blows out, then I've done my mitzvah and there's no obligation for me to relight it. So if I now relight it with another Chanukah light, I'm misusing that light because I'm not obligated to relight it. Then he says here, as stated in the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the mitzvah only mandates that when one light be kindled on each of the 8 nights of Chanukah. Now, mitzvah din, with one light, I'm yotze. The additional lights that are kindled are merely optional for those who wish to embellish the mitzvah, the mahadrin. There was mitzvah ner Chanukah yishuveto, and there were ner yishuveto, that I just light one candle in each household. So any additional light is like icing on the cake. He says, the Ramah, citing the Mordechai, rules that one may kindle one Chanukah light from another only if the second light is as significant as the first. For example, Reuven may kindle the first light of his menorah from Shimon's light. So he's coming out, if Shimon has one light, let's say it's the first night of Chanukah, Shimon's got one light, and I, Reuven, want to light my menorah, I could take that one candle from my menorah and light it from Shimon's. He says, however, one may not kindle the second light on his menorah from the first, because the first light is a primary mitzvah, whereas the second light is merely optional. So it gets very tricky. So in other words, like halach l'maaseh, you only want to use the Shabbos. But it's saying, like, this din of matlikim miner l'ner would be limited where I'm using the mitzvah and to light another mitzvah on the same level as that mitzvah. So if it's the first candle and I'm lighting another menorah with the first candle, that would be the case so I could do it. If I'm lighting any other light that's not the same level, one is on mahadrin and one's not. And then if it blew out, I'm not obligated to do one. Now, the Divrei Tzvi maintains that if one requires to fire a fire to kindle his third candle, the Ramah says the Mordechai, I can only do it if it's on the same level. Now, the Divrei Tzvi maintains if one requires a fire to kindle his third candle on the third night of Chanukah, the Mordechai would only prohibit taking light from the first candle. Taking light from the second candle is permitted, since the third candle is on equal footing with the second. Both are optional. So the Ramah, which cited the Mordechai, that said that it has to be equal, would hold, I could light candle number three from candle number two, because candle number two is from Mahadran, and candle number three is also from Mahadran. The Beis Halevi also addresses this case and considers permitting it even according to Rav, who prohibits kindling one menorah from another, even if both are of equal significance. He argues that if one has only two candles on the third night of Chanukah, he should light only one candle, not two. Heder mitzvah requires lighting the number of candles corresponding to the number of days in Chanukah. Therefore, there's no point in lighting two candles on the third night. Hence, he argues that even Rav should permit taking light from the second candle to ignite the third, since the second candle without the third is meaningless. So, in other words, he wants to say If I have only two candles, if I have only two lights lit, and I have to have three, so that the second light is meaningless without the third. Anyway, so the basic idea, again, so halach l'maisa, I would always tell you to use the shamas to light any candle. But in a very technical sense, we've seen that if I have, let's say it's the first night of Hanukkah, and I'm using wax candles, which is another issue. So I could technically take, you know, my first candle and go to my friend's first candle and light one from another. But I would just say always light from the shamas. You will never run into a problem with that. You always light the shamas with a separate light and use the shamas all the time. I think that's the best advice. Okay, I think that's it for today. Any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did? Robert, what do you got?
Okay, I'm trying to get an understanding of the difference between the mitzvah being that you light the candle and the requirement that you place it so it can be viewed by the public.
Right.
And it was, assuming that the halakha, as I understand it, because I read ahead to Ahmad Aleph,
right,
is the lighting itself is the mitzvah.
Right.
Is the placing it in a publicly accessible place a halakha? What is that?
Okay, no. It means like this, that there's a mitzvah to light the menorah, and there's a mitzvah to light the menorah in a certain location. So what, if you, according to the tzad, that hadlaka osa mitzvah means that the time you light it, the menorah has to be in its halakhically.
Oh, okay. So in other words, this thing about walking it outside is irrelevant to us. In other words,
right,
we have it, so it's visible already. All
right,
we need to do is light it.
Right.
We don't need to move it.
Right. That's right. That's correct. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Everybody.
Can I make one other comment?
Go ahead.
Joseph, I like the way you decorated the inside of your van. Very nice.
Okay, I'm turning off the tape. Okay.